Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Described as one of the greatest shopping centers in America, City Creek Center officially opens its doors this morning to the public. We'll begin our discussion today with a piece by KCPW's Whitney Evans, who got a preview of the long-awaited and a bit controversial development owned by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Flowing waterfalls. Meandering fish-inhabited streams. And a retractable glass rooftop that takes shoppers who are indoors, outdoors, in 4 minutes flat. These are just a few of the attractions at the City Creek Center in downtown Salt Lake City, a 700,000-square-foot shopping mall with a Nordstrom, a Macy's, more than 90 stores and restaurants, condos, apartments, and offices. Robert Taubman, chairman, president, and CEO of Michigan-based Taubman Centers, which operates the shopping center, says it's clearly an exciting environment filled with a variety of merchandise, from cheap chic finds at H&M to fine jewelry at Tiffany's. He expects 15 million people to walk through the doors within the next 2 years.
We've owned centers all over the country. We have a wide range of traffic counts. But 15 million would be a very good number for a center of this size in this kind of a situation. We think it's going to be one of the great shopping centers in America.
Wyoming residents Donley and Lorna Linford agree. They've been looking forward to the City Creek Center opening for a while, and we're trying to get a sneak peek.
It's kind of like one in a million. Pretty soon they'll be all over the United States now because everybody wants to copy it.
I don't think they will.
I think so. It's wonderful.
Taubman says an earlier decision to close City Creek retail stores on Sunday didn't keep high-end retailers at bay.
That was our decision to make, and we made it as the owner of the center, and we think it's the best decision for our property in this community. It was not a problem at all. I mean, they feel they can do plenty of business 6 days a week.
General Manager Linda Wardell says City Creek Center is the only regional retail center that's opened in the United States in the last 6 years, which, according to her, says a lot about the strength of Utah's economy.
You know, this project in general has been able to support our economy through a very difficult time in our nation. You know, we had 1,700 construction workers on our site during our peak time of construction, and those are 1,700 people who may have been out of work during a very difficult time.
Now at the grand opening, Wardell says 2,000 people are employed there. A sky bridge that crosses Main Street, connecting two blocks of retail shops and restaurants, caused a stir when it was approved by the Salt Lake City Council. Opponents of the bridge argued a sky bridge keeps shoppers off the streets, causing a decline in Main Street patronage. But Downtown Alliance Executive Director Jason Mathis doesn't think that's the case.
I think most people who stand at that sky bridge and look down Main Street will be really impressed with what they're able to see and how it's integrated into the larger downtown.
City Creek Center officially opens at 10 a.m. today. I'm Whitney Evans, KCPW News.
Okay, between the retractable roof, the sky bridge, the upscale tenants, City Creek undoubtedly brings a new kind of shopping experience to Utah, but many questions linger. How will City Creek affect the feel of downtown? Is City Creek the secret sauce that will save downtown? Or does the arrival of City Creek mean the death of the gateway? What impact will retailers feel at Fashion Place and Southtown and Trolley Square? Today on the program, we're talking about the City Creek development with an eye toward what it means for downtown, the capital city, and the region. Joining me this hour, Christopher Smart. He is a reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been heading up coverage of City Creek for the Tribune, and he joins me in studio. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Good morning.
Also with us, Bob Springmeyer, president of Bonneville Research, which assesses economic trends and development for public and private entities. He's worked as a consultant with local government for over 30 years, and he's with us in studio as well. Bob, great to have you here.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you.
And Stephen Goldsmith, he worked as the city planning director for Salt Lake City from 2000 to 2002. He's now an associate professor in the Department of City and Metropolitan Planning at the University of Utah. Stephen Goldsmith, good morning.
Good morning.
Later on in the program, we're getting the lead on children and on the film festival circuit. But first, City Creek. If you've got questions about this development, if you plan to shop there this weekend, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews at kcpw.org. Up to 50,000 shoppers expected to descend on the 23 acres that is City Creek this weekend, each day this weekend. What's all the fuss? Bob Springmeyer.
Well, I think we need to put this in perspective. The primary purpose of City Creek is to protect the temple. And the whole reason that City Creek was developed was to make sure that the area around the temple stays as lively and vital and safe, and frankly as a refuge. And the strategy to do that was to have retail, high fashion retail, and that's probably a very successful strategy. Having additional housing is a significant part of that strategy. But whether this is successful or not really is determined primarily by whether the temple and the area around the temple is protected. I hope they are successful. It's been a big gamble by the LDS Church. It's not going to be a moneymaker for the LDS Church, and I think that's apparent by which arm holds the ownership of it. This was developed by PRI, not Zion Securities. PRI is their not-for-profit corporate entity that holds their not-for-profit properties. Zion Securities is the entity that holds their for-profit. Having Nordstrom's there, having all of the other retailers, having some great locally owned and operated restaurants, is it going to be exciting? They've done a quality job. This is a first-rate development. This is not a movie set. What you see is real. I mean, other than the fact that the pseudo City Creek is really an artificial body of water, but they've done a really nice job with it. And the fact that they've got some real Bonneville cutthroat trout in there, I think, is a real, is a real feature.
Stephen Goldsmith, it's just a mall, right? What do you think really sets City Creek apart from other attempts to make over downtown?
I think that one of the most important things to acknowledge is there's an evolution of our way of thinking about what downtowns are that takes us back 150 years, that they are live work. In 1988, I was having a conversation with Presiding Bishop Burton, who said to me, downtowns are for culture and commerce, and those of you who are building housing on the west side or on the east side of downtown, you understand that that's not what downtown is for. And we would have a number of conversations about this. This is when the Downtown Alliance was first forming. Hmm. And now to see that the evolution of knowledge and consciousness about what downtowns need to be, that they need to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even though the retail won't be 7 days a week, Harmon's will be open 7 days a week. And it's that way of re-knitting together the fabric of an east side of downtown and a west side of downtown into a vibrant neighborhood, these connected neighborhoods. That's a good thing. Whether or not we all will be shopping at City Creek, that's a whole other conversation. Whether or not the fake creek is a very disconcerting part of this that upsets those of us who truly love this valley. The original name of City Creek was Napopa, by the Native Americans who lived here. Maybe we need to return the original City Creek to that original name so that we can identify which is which.
Christopher Smart, you've walked around the development. How are people that you've talked to, how are they reacting to what they see, those first impressions of this development?
It's big wow. I don't think we've seen anything quite like this in Utah. We do like new things, and we saw 10 years ago when the gateway opened, there was kind of an oh wow, but nothing like this. This is really, by Salt Lake City standards, fairly spectacular, and I think that there's no doubt, at least for the next 18 months, it's going to really draw people who just want to see it. There's been a lot of publicity, a lot of public relations, and people really do want to see it. And I think that hopes are really running high that this will really be something that energizes all of downtown. That remains to be seen, of course. But with the exception of the people who own the gateway, I think everybody is really excited.
Your paper did a lovely piece with some archival photographs of what Main Street used to look like, and lots of crowds and action. Describe what downtown used to be years ago.
Well, I mean, you can, for downtown Salt Lake City was a very vibrant place, and you can go all the way back to those post-Civil War days when Salt Lake City became the commercial and cultural hub between the only thing really between Denver and San Francisco. We got the railroad in 1869. Mining was very active. And by the time we had statehood and the Pioneer Jubilee the following year, Salt Lake City had really made its place as a center of commerce and culture. And it remained really vibrant that way up until the 1960s. But perhaps one of the really great times for downtown Salt Lake City was the post-World War II era. And there you can look at those archival photos and you can see a bustling Main Street and a bustling Broadway with sidewalks chock full of people, and they're dressed up, and you could think, well, I mean, it looks like Chicago or somewhere.
Hmm.
But, and as, you know, we've discussed that that during the 60s, that started to fade as our lifestyle has changed.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Goldsmith, as a city planner, planners have been wringing their hands about the downtown decline for decades now. What, in addition to, you know, people moving to the suburbs and kind of relinquishing the downtown to nothingness, we have seen a mall on this site before. The Crossroads Plaza was there for years. ZCMI Center was there. How is this project different from a planning perspective?
It's a really important question. I also want to just tell your listeners that tonight at 7 o'clock on KUED, there's a great half-hour documentary about the historic downtown, and it has these images that Chris was just talking about. It's terrific to see the difference. What differentiates this project from other malls is we begin to get the connection between main streets. So, for example, we have Regent Street that essentially continues through now to South Temple, from First South to South Temple. That was disrupted by the ZCMI Mall. Similarly, on Richard Street, both of those will be open 24/7, even though the shops are closed, and that's a great contribution to the walkability of downtown. The old malls didn't have that. The old malls contained people much more, and in many ways, this is a tribute to the Planning Commission that insisted that Taubman and the LDS Church keep these openings open to place as many doors on the street to animate Main Street, First South, State Street to a certain extent in South Temple, because but for the Planning Commission and a few very hard-minded designers, that would not have been the case. The other thing that's similar about this mall, however, is the Taubman formula. And Taubman, they'll acknowledge they have a formula. In fact, Bill Taubman's father wrote a book about the formulas for creating these places.
The developer behind City Creek,
Taubman. The developer behind City Creek, exactly. And that's to get them in. So you have 5,000 parking spaces below. Get them in and keep them in. So when people come into the mall, they're going to come up through elevators or walkways, and they're going to get into this mall, and they're going to stay in this mall. What we've been pushing for is the spillover, the spill out. That's why we want to get as many openings on the street. It's one of the reasons the Skybridge was so controversial. We don't understand still in Salt Lake City the importance of the democracy of the street, why streets and sidewalks are the most important organs of cities. And that's one part of this project that I wish had been we'd force the hand of the developer to make sure that we reanimated the street with this project, because otherwise it's very similar to other mall designs.
We're speaking with Stephen Goldsmith. He was a city planning director for Salt Lake City from 2000 to 2002, now an associate professor in the Department of City and Metropolitan Planning at the University of Utah. Also with us, Bob Springmeyer, president of Bonneville Research and a consultant to local governments as well as private entities. Christopher Smart, reporter for Salt Lake Tribune. And we're talking about City Creek, the development that has been long awaited. It opens today. If you'd like to join us about this topic, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or, of course, send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. After 5 years of construction, nearly $2 billion, and a lot of hype, City Creek is finally opening for business. Today on the program, we're walking through the history of the project, the investment by the LDS Church, and what the upscale retail development means for downtown and beyond. You can join us if you like if you're headed to City Creek on opening weekend. Tell us why. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Christopher Smart is a reporter with the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been heading up coverage for City Creek for the paper. Also with us, Bob Springmeyer, president of Bonneville Research, and Stephen Goldsmith, former Salt Lake City Planning Director, associate professor in the Department of City and Metropolitan Planning at the University of Utah today. I want to get into some of the economics in Whitney's piece, which we heard at the top of this program. City Creek's general manager, Linda Wardell, said the shopping center is boosting the local economy. Some argue that it helped Utah avoid the depths of the Great Recession. Bob Springmeyer?
Well, I think there are two sides of that. I think the LDS Church was most fortuitous in the timing of their decision to go through this construction. It did. It came at an extraordinarily fortunate time for Utah in that it was a major construction project. I think, frankly, it was a major feat for them as well, for the LDS Church as well, because they saved a lot of money on construction costs. Materials and labor were at the bottom during that period. And it was great for employees. Now, that's all behind us going forward. This is a retail activity. And consumers in Utah have a certain amount of money that they have available to spend, and they can spend it on any number of things in any number of places. So next week, a general conference is probably going to be a real boost because of the out-of-state people that come in for general conference. So all that money that the out-of-state people spend is going to be a benefit and a boost to our Salt Lake, Utah economy. Now, for the Utah residents, Salt Lake County residents, anything that gets spent at Nordstrom's downtown likely is going to come from the sale from the Nordstrom's in Murray, and the same thing for Macy's. So you're going to see a trade. You'll see a shifting of some retail sales to downtown, to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City will get the point-of-sale sales tax portion of that revenue. Murray won't, Holiday won't, and the other areas. So there's going to be a trade. So the more we can get people coming in from out of state, the more that this is a tourist attraction, the more we'll be net ahead. Everything else is just shuffling.
Shuffling. Stephen Goldsmith, you're nodding your head. Salt Lake City, the big winner in this equation?
Oh, absolutely. I think that just looking at this from the point of view of tax base, finally we're going to be able to draw all of those cosmetic sales back to downtown Salt Lake. It was fascinating during the process of permitting this project how many women working on Main Street were upset that they were going to have to go to Fashion Place to buy their eyeshadow.
One of the downsides, though, is City Creek shops will not be open on Sunday, a cause of some controversy, Christopher Smart.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like to see it be a 7-day situation. And I guess Taubman had its reasons, but it's hard to separate that from, you know, the larger culture and the Mormon church. How that plays out, I think, just remains to be seen. And Taubman thinks that it won't be such a big deal. So we'll just have to see. But one of the things, my office is over at the Gateway, and one of the things that's fairly dramatic right now is the migration of business out of Gateway to City Creek. And
speaking of shuffling. Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to what we saw 10 years ago when Gateway opened, because commerce shifted to the west. And a lot of people on Main Street and Broadway downtown felt that was, you know, that was practically the death knell. And so now things are moving around. So I'm not an economist, but it's, I guess the question is, how many square feet of commercial space can we support in this town? And is it, you know, finite? Will it grow? I was speaking with former Mayor Ted Wilson the other day. He thinks that at the end, when this thing shakes out, there's going to be this synergy between City Creek and Gateway and everything in between. So you're going to have, in the old days, we had that dynamic between South Temple and Broadway down Main Street. Ted Wilson thinks this new synergy is going to be from Main Street to Rio Grande Street. So
it could happen, but we're looking at
you're
probably
not walk
30
that.
Years.
You may be able to ride it on tracks. My guess is that Gateway is going to become more of an entertainment center, and it'll change, just as there were some changes that occurred even after it opened. You know, what one sees as retail when it opens and one finds as retail after it's been around for after the first set of leases start coming up is something different. And I think we're going to see that at Gateway. There was a shift, some of the people out of Gateway moving back up to Foothill. And I think we'll, you know, retail is very dynamic, and we'll see that. On the Sunday issue, I hear more complaints, people that are disappointed that it's not going to be open on Sunday than anything else. So what we may find is that the cosmetic sales in Murray may explode on Sunday.
I want to read this email from Barbara. She writes, I was at the gala last night and have some comments. Lovely, beautiful development, but there were lots of paying guests who were given two drink tickets, but to redeem the tickets, one had to search out the way to what felt like a speakeasy, an upstairs unfinished building space dubbed City Creek Club. The organizers clearly underestimated the number of guests who would wish to imbibe. Long lines for drinks and meager food. Then to add to the feeling we're doing something bad, we could not leave the building with a glass of wine or beer. She goes on to write, I appreciate the concept and the attempt to revitalize downtown, but the LDS Church needs to realize half of the population of the greater Salt Lake City area is not Mormon and does not appreciate being controlled. That email from Barbara. Stephen Goldsmith, your thoughts?
I think we need to honestly acknowledge the diversity of this city. City Creek is not going to be for everyone. And those people who want to be a trolley, those people who want to be on Third South, which I think may end up becoming sort of the old town part of Salt Lake and has an opportunity to really blossom. You know, I'm not going to be someone who spends a lot of time at the City Creek Mall. That's not the desire I have. I'd much rather be over by Ken Sanders. I'd much rather be over there. That's who I am. But it doesn't discount the fact that there are many people who will want to be over at City Creek Mall. I know where I can get a drink in town. It's not necessarily going to be at City Creek. So to acknowledge the diversity of this town is actually a good thing. If it's the same way of honestly acknowledging what Bob was talking about before in terms of the Vaticanization of downtown. If we're just honest about this, the Vaticanization of downtown is not an epithet. It's not saying anything negative. It's just saying, look, the LDS Church is a primary employer here.
It's the major corporate interest here.
It's the major corporate interest here. They don't pollute. You know, if I was the mayor of a city and said I could recruit the LDS Church to be in my city for their world headquarters, I would do that. So to let them have this buffer around their headquarters, this is not a bad thing. But I think we just need to acknowledge that City Creek's not for everybody. And until we begin to really embrace the diversity of this town and realize that this is not a one-stop shop for everything and everybody, we're going to be frustrated and angry. And I'd like to do things to reduce that anger and frustration in town.
Speaking with Stephen Goldsmith, former city planning director for Salt Lake City, now an associate professor in the planning department at the University of Utah. Also with us, Bob Springmeyer, president of Bonneville Research, and Christopher Smart, a reporter at the Salt Lake Tribune. We're talking about the new City Creek development, which opens today. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. This email from Rick, he writes, the days of downtown Salt Lake City streets teeming with people, like in the old photos, are gone forever. Thanks to the kind of thinking that went into City Creek development. What do you gentlemen think about that? Do you think that we can recreate the past, or is it gone forever and something new and different is coming our way?
I think it has more to do with the car than it does the design of City Creek or malls. We were talking during the break when, you know, during the 50s, my parents had one car, And Dad drove it downtown to work, worked on Richard Street. And Mom had it on Thursday nights to go do the grocery shopping. And as a result, shopping and all the commercial activity was centralized in downtown Salt Lake. And frankly, downtown Salt Lake operated much like a classic mall with the major anchor of ZCMI at one end and the other major anchor, the non-Mormon anchor, Our Backs, at the other end. And as people walked back and forth between those two anchors, they supported all the little inline shops along Main Street and along Third South. Now, those days left when the car became dominant, and my family had multiple cars and had multiple choices and could go out to the Cottonwood Mall to shop and could go elsewhere to shop. To blame the mall, I think, is incorrect. It was us and how we chose to transport and how we chose to work.
Change in lifestyle. I want to get back to the point of synergy between City Creek and the Gateway, and this idea that shoppers will go to and fro and kind of compare, and it all will be well. And yet, as you point out in a lot of your coverage, Christopher, there's been a flight of shops from the Gateway. At least a dozen shops are planning to relocate to City Creek. We've lost a major tenant in Trolley Square, Restoration Hardware. How are people feeling about that kind of shuffle?
Well, I think the people at City Creek are feeling pretty good about it. I think the other areas, though, are quite nervous about it. The notion that City Creek can spill over into the greater downtown is something that people hope for. But, you know, as Stephen has pointed out, that the mall, the design of City Creek is sort of to keep those shoppers there. You know, with this thing with the alcohol and whatnot, and then, you know, there the coming of a new theater on Main Street, which is probably four years down the road, but a Broadway style, you start to see, and if you look around at Broadway and other pockets, you start to see in this town this sort of organic rebirth that's going on, if you're sensitive to it. And so, you know, I don't know that City Creek is going to be a magic bullet, but I think that it might be the big oak with, you know, little pieces of greenery sprouting up around it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad we have that choice. I mean, I'm excited about the fact that LDS Church is willing to make the investment to do this. And it's going to have a very positive impact. It isn't going to be for everyone. It isn't perfect. Humans don't do things that are perfect. But I was contacted yesterday by John Crandall. They own the Crandall building that's just right there, that's still part of the First South block, right? And they're excited. They've had to suffer through the construction, one, and now they've had a lot of interest for their retail space and increased interest into their commercial space. You know, the Oxford shop where I started buying shoes when I was a teenager, you know, I was heartened
today
by the paper this morning that the in-laws are going to take over and run the Oxford shop. They struggled through, you know, years there of the disruption and the construction. I think we're going to see some major impacts, but as you know, it's not going to be for everyone.
I think one of the most important impacts, though, is this housing component. We haven't talked about that at all today. And if there is a silver bullet here, it's the housing. We now have that 24-hour life downtown. Jane Jacobs used to say that city councils and mayors are always trying to draw people to downtown. She said, what you have to do is you put people downtown. And that's finally what we've gotten right. It's the mixed use here.
But let's hope. You know, Gateway has a housing component. Gateway had some upscale shops. So what's the difference between the City Creek housing and the Gateway housing? I mean, you know, to me, they look like they're very similar.
Price point is one of the differences. That's a very big part of it. But it's not about whether City Creek is right or Gateway is right. It's the fact that we're beginning to redensify downtown. and understand that we don't need to use our cars to get every place, that we can shop and live and buy our groceries and do all those things on foot. And look, this is such a young town. 160 years of development of two blocks, and the majority of those years are in the landfill. Think about Athens. Think about Rome. Think about cities whose lasting value has gone on for centuries, yet here in only 160 years we've rebuilt those two blocks three or four significant times. And the other things that are important here is that we're now back to the singular ownership that we had 160 years ago. The parcelization of those blocks had many owners over the years, but now it's been aggregated back to basically a couple of single owners, with the exception of Vasilios Priskos and the Marriott Hotel.
Well, one of the things that I think we need to be careful of on the housing is how much of that housing is going to be primary housing and how much it will be secondary housing. And I'm Steve's scenario really assumes that everybody that is going to be living there will live there most of the time. That'll be their primary residence. What we've seen in the past is that a lot of the housing around Temple Square was really seasonal housing, temporary housing. And we don't get any real benefit from that. And I'm hoping that that the sales for this become primarily primary housing. But and that was part of the dream, that the empty nesters, my generation, living in Sandy and South Jordan and areas, would choose to abandon those homes and come downtown. But I don't think that's happening as much as people were hoping. Frankly, I think it's my son's generation that grew up with Steinberg on television and thinking that that's a normal way of living is in apartments and...
Oh, Steinfeld.
Steinfeld, thank you. And I think that generation is probably going to be more inclined to move and live downtown, but they'll likely be more down towards the West 2nd South area than they would be up at the around the Temple Square area.
Hmm.
I think that may be true, but again, this is going to re-knit together the east side of State Street and the west side of West Temple, so there are now people living right in the middle of that. And it begins, again, to knit together the fabric of a vibrant series of neighborhoods as opposed to being this Mason-Dixon line that nobody lives right in downtown. Mm. And that's what's exciting, again, long-term. You know, my views of cities are very long-term. You have to look 100 years, you have to look 200 years. And though we may not be here, we can see how, if this trend continues, the city can have the kind of vibrant, dense humanity that we seek when we travel. Mm. We go to New York, we go to Paris, we go to all those places because we like that vibrancy. Downtown, over the next series of generations, may now be approaching that.
Christopher Smart, you know, retail is cyclical. Consumers are fickle. The City Creek is so shiny and new and lovely. How long can the glow be sustained? What are your sources thinking on that?
Well, you know, if you look at the Gateway, for example, it's 10 years old. That's not really an old mall. But, you know, some of the shine is now going off on that. And if you look at those old Main Street malls, Crossroads and ZCMI, they lasted 20 years beginning to end. I think the hope is that these structures are built to last, and they're not just going to be something of a throwaway, that they're actually the workmanship in these buildings seems to be a grade higher, and so you know, people are thinking that this is more permanent. And so we'll have to see, because times change quickly these days. Who'd have guessed when they opened the Gateway that 10 years later people would be thinking, wow, that thing is old?
Well, but typically retail has about a 15-year life. And that isn't the functional life of the building. The buildings can last 25, 30, 40, 50 years. But the functional retail life is really about 15 years. And that's going to be a major issue. Now, I disagree with Chris a little bit. I think they moved it up about three levels in terms of the quality of the construction and the quality of the design. I was extraordinarily impressed. But retail's dynamic. And people have a lot of choices, and we'll see some changes even in this mall. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how long the LDS Church and PRI are willing to support having Nordstrom's there operating on a 6-day week.
Our time is short, but this question for Stephen Goldsmith finally. When will we know that City Creek is a success? Is
it
already?
It depends on how you measure that. I would say for the 1,700 workers, it's been a success. I would say by the fact that we now have Regent Street going all the way through to Gallivan Plaza South Temple is a success. I'd say that even though if you're in a wheelchair, you're not going to get through very well from South Temple along Richard Street to First South. I mean, these are some of those design issues that are really annoying about this. But all in all, I would say, depending upon which measure you look at, it is a success. And once again, the fact that housing is down there, even though it is a very high-end housing, the fact that we're saying, yes, it's okay to live and work downtown, that is a tipping point for the city.
I guess my last question for you, Stephen, are you going to go on the Skybridge and check out that view?
A number of people have been asking me that, and you can be sure I'll be there with my camera.
Stephen Goldsmith, he was a former city planning director for Salt Lake City, now an associate professor in the Department of City and Metropolitan Planning at the University of Utah. Stephen, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Also with us, Christopher Smart, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Thanks to you.
Thanks.
And Bob Springmeyer, president of Bonneville Research. Thanks for your time as
well.
Thanks,
Jennifer.
Coming up next, a film festival for kids. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.